Welcome to Modular March. I'm Andy, this is Robbie, and we are The Roll-Up.
Modular March is an educational experience about all things modular. Enjoy.
Modular March, another episode today. We have Lewis from Gelato here today to talk about zero gas roll-ups and the bull case for app chains.
Hello, hello. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Very excited to learn about zero gas roll-ups and all the stuff that you're doing at Gelato. And feel free to kick us off, Ben.
All right. Yeah, so I'm going to jump straight into the slides here. I brought a little presentation to basically explain a bit about what we have been building at Gelato and what you can be excited for in 2024. I'm basically going to talk about zero gas and infinite scale and the bull case for app chains or roll apps and how to build them. I'm Luis. I'm a founder at Gelato. Let's jump straight in. So basically, I actually stole this from Mustafa from Celestia. I think he has this amazing analogy that he likes to say on podcast. And it's basically the story of how Web 2 scales. So let me briefly walk you through that then compare it to Web 3. So basically in Web 2 in the early 90s, probably none of us here were there for that. But you basically, in the beginning of the web, you had physical servers that you needed if you wanted to host a website or web app. So you would literally have to buy a machine. You would have to deploy your software to that machine to be able to host a website. And obviously this wasn't going to be scaling the web, because just imagine you have users outside of your continent or something, they would experience very slow loading times. And in general, just maintaining a server to host an app is just like crazy, right? Like imagine your electricity goes out, your page is down, super unscalable. Like you have to do all of the maintenance, even though you just maybe, I don't know, want to have a website or a web app about coffee or something, right? So didn't make any sense. So we had to graduate from there. And next came the era of shared hosting. So there we had providers like GeoCities and DreamHost. These guys really solved a big problem. For the first time, you were able as a web developer to just have a managed hosting service where you would be able to deploy your web app website and enjoy a lot of managed service, but there were still problems with that. It was definitely much more scalable. You would be able to have failover in case some server went down and so on. All of this was managed for you. But the problem was that these shared hosting providers still were very restrictive. Like, for example, you would have to use their specific framework, their specific programming language and so on. That's, like just constrains the ability to build amazing applications. And especially what was really bad on the shared hosting infrastructure is that you sort of shared your server space with everyone else on there. So I don't know, if your competitor's app or something exploded, had like a day of huge traffic, a huge surge, you would pay the cost of that sort of as well by maybe having a degraded service on your own app or maybe even downtime and so on. So it still didn't really scale well. And the end game here was basically virtual machines in the cloud. So now for the first time, web developers in Web 2, and this is still the state of art today, you can just create your own instances in the cloud. They're fully virtual servers. They're fully managed for you on AWS. You can spin up as many of them as you need. They're isolated from everyone else. So you won't suffer any degradation if someone else on AWS has a crazy amount of traffic. You won't notice that. And most importantly, also, this gives you maximum flexibility in designing your application and building your web application. You can pick any VM and then sort of just build your app the way you want to build it using a wide array of programming languages, everything. So here we have maximum scalability, usability, all managed for developers in the cloud, sort of available to them instantly. And very, very important, they can scale that horizontally. So they can scale up and spin up as many instances in AWS or Google Cloud as they want, right? So now the key learning here is that the internet is not just one huge world computer, it's rather a web of interconnected computers. And all of these services talk via asynchronous mechanisms with each other. So for example, I mean, generally speaking in the web, your servers would talk to other servers via HTTP, which is an asynchronous protocol. And also like even within your service, probably those different microservices within your application would also talk to each other in an asynchronous manner. So yeah, the main claim that we have at Gelato is that asynchronous cloud services are scaling Web3 too. Today already, actually, as we will see later in the presentation. So let's talk about the Web3 evolution here, and let's compare it to what we just saw with the Web2 evolution. So in Web3, we see a shift from like a few monolithic chains to what we call infinite virtual chains or rollups in the Web3 cloud. So in Web3, we initially, similar to how you had like huge barriers to entry in the early days of the web, where you had to buy physical servers and everything, we initially had these special purpose blockchains like Bitcoin. And if you actually wanted to create a new application specific blockchain back then, or a special purpose blockchain back then, you'd literally have to rebuild or fork Bitcoin. And the barrier to entry is huge, right? Like you essentially have to spin up a validator network similar to Bitcoin that has similar amount at stake. Otherwise, you know, the 51% attack becomes very, very likely. And for that, you basically have to create a new coin, a new token. You have to inflate the supply. And yeah, it's basically an insurmountable task to be able to replicate what Bitcoin did and to also build an application similar to it. So basically people tried with MasterCoin and so on, but it was pretty clear that it wouldn't work. So then next you had Ethereum, and Ethereum is like a shared hosting provider in Web2, where Ethereum solved a huge problem. Basically, it allowed application developers from deploying the application as a new blockchain, from going from there to actually deploying the application as a smart contract on Ethereum. And Ethereum, the network, would take care of all of the global distribution for you, the networking, the hosting, everything. So it's like a managed service, and you just deployed your smart contract there. The issue is very similar to shared hosting providers, is that Ethereum itself is a very constrained platform. Like you would only be able to write your application Solidity on the EVM, right? So we all know that has a lot of shortcomings. EVM, for example, is not parallelized, so you wouldn't be able to process transactions in parallel. It can get, and especially the biggest problem is you're sharing this infrastructure with everybody else out there deploying applications. So that means in times of congestion, your users have to pay a huge fee, or maybe have like a very degraded experience on your application simply because some degen is doing an ICO or an NFT drop or something, right? So that's you know, also not ideal. Definitely pretty cool, much better than what we had before, but definitely suffers from a lot of scalability issues and other issues as we know. So the final stage of Web3 scaling is essentially Ethereum's rollup centric roadmap, which we at Gelato say basically leads to virtual blockchains or rollups on a rollup as a service environment. And essentially what a rollup as a service does is very similar to what AWS did for web developers, which is it allows you to modify the blockchain virtual machine, or to just, you know, spin up many instances of it. You can just take the EVM, you can take OP, you can take Polygon, you can take Arbitrum and just spin up an instance of it or many instances. Or you can even go beyond that and modify it, right? Like we see people actually now have the Solana virtual machine and they deploy that as an Ethereum rollup. So that's super cool. It gives developers much more flexibility. You have more innovation again. Not everyone has to build the EVM the exactly same way that Ethereum has. You can, for example, merge some EIPs that aren't on Ethereum yet early on your rollup and many other things. And most importantly, you deploy as many instances of this for your application as you want. So your application is not a smart contract anymore. It is now a rollup blockchain. And you still benefit from a lot of the sort of network or shared hosting effects of Ethereum. Like, for example, you can use Ethereum as a data availability layer or Celestia, right? So you sort of modularize the stack a bit there, and or as a settlement layer, so and as a shared security layer. So you really gain, you still benefit from everything Ethereum has built, but you just move the execution to a roll-up and you gain a lot of scalability. Like so, there's some trade-off here with liquidity fragmentation and so on, but beyond that, really, it's just very logical to do that as an application developer. So yeah, that's the end game of Web3. And just quickly, very high level tech here. You can think of Gelato's Web3 Cloud as consisting of two layers. You have the base layer. These are the roll-up technologies like Optimism, Arbitrum, Polygon, ZK Sync, and so on. You name it. The other modular parts like data availability layers like Celestia and so on. And then this is sort of the base layer tech that you need on this platform and that you get on this platform. And then secondly, you also need services. And I think this is really important to understand why Gelato isn't just a roll-up as a service provider and why just the blockchain itself is cool but pretty useless. And you also see this on AWS, where you have this nice ecosystem of composable services that developers make use of when building the application. Similarly, like this on Gelato's Web3 Cloud and on all-in-one rollup as a service, you also get all of the Gelato services baked into your chain. So, for example, our serverless functions, if you want to automate your smart contracts, or if you want to, connect to data off-chain like Piff or Redstone and make it available on your rollup. For example, if you have a DeFi rollup, that's very important to have oracles there from day one, right? So yeah, all of these services are available to you on our platform for your chain. You also have the Graph and GoldSky for indexing. You have block explorers like Etherscan. You have messaging protocols to be able to asynchronously connect between your rollup and other chains like Layer Zero, for example, right? Oracles like Piff and Redstone and many more. So here's just a quick, I think this is PDF, so we won't see it, but yeah, it's just a quick show of how easy it is to just deploy your rollup on Gelato. We have an app for that allows you to do that. You can just pick your stack, pick your DA layer, and just with a couple of clicks, you can spin up your rollups. Actually, we will have a big release there soon with OP Stack, Arbitrum, Polygon eventually as well, and so on, where you can literally just very quickly as a developer spin up a testnet and eventually mainnet as well. And yeah, just some more tech here. Very high level tech, but what's key to understand about why rollups are basically, like instances in the cloud or virtual blockchains is that, basically we were able to modularize the Ethereum blockchain stack by having execution layer, which is your rollup. That is essentially like your VM in the cloud, where you can use Gelato's rollup as a service, Gelato sequencer to essentially run the transaction execution engine for you. And you don't have to worry about that. That's fully managed by us in the cloud. And the reason that's still cool is because you can still use Ethereum as settlement layer and data availability layer. I mean, today is Dankun, right? Like, so I guess more people are bullish again on Ethereum as a data availability layer. So now that blob space is there and DA costs are going down, but obviously we have great projects like Celestia and so on that are really leading the way there. And that you can also pick and choose from that are outside of our cloud offering, right? Like these are trustless decentralized networks. And by just having the execution in the Gelato cloud, you can still benefit from the security of these decentralized networks, but you can also benefit from the scale of having a cloud service like Gelato, fully scale up your application. What we always say is that's not it, right? Like on top of that, you have essential services, like you have the native bridge UI that you get on Gelato's rollup as a service. You have our RPC partner for scalable RPCs. Currently, we're working with the RPC there. And you get block explorers on top of that as well. So that's like sort of the base chain. But going beyond that, actually, on Gelato's Web3 Cloud, you can now connect your rollup from day one to, for example, our functions service, our serverless functions. If you're familiar with AWS, just think about like on AWS, maybe you pick your database like MongoDB and you pick your VM and so on. And here on Gelato, you can now pick your database like, let's say, Ethereum or Celestia, and you can pick your VM like OP Stack or Arbitrum. And now on AWS, normally you also have a rich ecosystem of APIs and services that you can use. And just like this on Gelato's Web3 Cloud, rollup as a service, you can immediately pick Gelato functions, which allows you to very easily connect to Perth and Redstone for Oracle data, or you can pick our relay service and account abstraction services with Zerodev. If you want to have an account abstraction experience on your rollup, you can connect to GoldSky for indexing and so on. And yeah, so your UI, your application sort of from day one doesn't just have a blockchain, but it has all of the rich services that you need to really build a nice blockchain application. And very importantly as well, the cross-chain messaging services that you see on the right here, these are extremely important because just like on AWS with your application, you still talk to many other services like Stripe or whatnot, right? Over HTTP, on Gelato Rollup as a service can use layer zero or connect or cross or whatever to connect your rollup with other rollups, most likely to have bridging, right? So that your users can bridge tokens from, let's say, Base into your application or from Ethereum or Optimism into your application. So yeah, that's also the interop part here. It's as simple as having an asynchronous messaging protocol on your rollup that supports your rollup that connects to other chains. And now you have basically you've achieved the what Web2 has already achieved on AWS. You've now achieved in the Web3 paradigm, which I think is really amazing. This is already happening today. Last slide here is a bit more futuristic. This is shared sequencing. It's obviously a bit of a buzzword. I'm going to keep it short here, but I think most users today would be completely fine to just have one rollup instance, one instance of OP as their rollup and process all of the transactions. But some people are already thinking ahead, maybe game developers, usually they're thinking on the order of tens of thousands of transactions per second. These guys might already think, okay, I want to have multiple horizontal instances of my application, as you would on AWS. There are oftentimes, you even have auto scale where you, have 3-4 instances of your application running in parallel. This can actually already work with asynchronous communication, but some application developers might want to synchronize between these instances for cross sort of synchronous atomic smart contract calls. So they want their application to be processed by multiple instances of an execution VM, but they still want to have synchronous calls between them. And that's where you need shared sequencing. This is currently in research still. There's a lot of stuff ongoing, like Espresso-based sequencing from the Ethereum Foundation and so on. And we also heavily invested there in research. And just a teaser that I think in the not-too-distant future, we will also have a POC or a testnet for deploying your application on multiple instances and still having it be like a single instance where you can, you can process synchronous smart contract calls across these instances. So yeah, that's that. I mean, the key takeaway here is that Ethereum is not one huge world computer. It's a Web3 of interconnected rollups built on Gelato, obviously. So I would like to invite all of you to come and build with us to scale Ethereum. And yeah, this is just like an ecosystem chart that we have all of the projects that have been using our services over the past 4 years, like, many names there, like Synthetix, PancakeSwap, Yearn, Optimism, Astar actually launched a ZK EVM with us very recently. Beefy Finance has been using our serverless functions forever. So yeah, many projects on here, so you'll be in good hands. You'll join a nice community of integrators and builders. And yeah, that's it. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Thank you. We've heard this analogy of Web3 embodying and following a very same trajectory as cloud compute. The first question I have is if you're able to put the slides back up, we can.
Sorry.
That's okay. Me. So going to. First of all, very modular, right? That Ethereum is an interconnected web of computers. And each of those computers are modular. There was a word here. And I think, did you mention the word infinite scalability at one point here? Okay. So I just wanted to push on that because in the current cloud landscape, we have these server farms that are all over the world, and the scalability is limited by the hardware itself. So I'm curious if the scalability of virtual blockchains in the Web3 cloud are also limited by hardware. And if so, what's the current hardware and where is that going?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Infinite scale is always a bit of a marketing buzzword. I think it's infinite in theory. And now in practice, you still have, you still need the hardware and whatnot. But like the idea is that the idea about infinite scale is that you have a system where you can simply add a machine or add a new instance in the cloud. This would be a virtual instance. So it's not like an actual machine. It could be like that you still are on the same machine, but it's just like it's a virtualization, but still you can just add a machine or you can add instances, and every instance you add can basically process more transactions for you, right? And this is now, obviously we still have a lot of problems to solve here in Web3 that are already much better solved in Web2, like for example, communication between these rollups. I don't think there exists a rollup today which already has three instances that sort of interoperate nicely with each other. Like, I think we will have the first of these things on testnet, maybe mainnet this year. My candidates here, my runner-ups, are definitely gaming developers. They already think this way because, I think in online games and so on, this is where you already have a lot of servers that operate very nicely with each other to provide the game. So I think this is a similar idea here. The idea is that, in Ethereum right now on the layer one, if you add a new validator, they don't really add anything in terms of processing capacity to the network. It's actually quite the opposite almost, where every new validator has to do the exact same compute that everyone else does. So you don't really gain anything from adding machines to the network other than arguably decentralization, security, and whatnot, right? And the idea with rollups on the layer two is that now, since it's just about execution, you can actually add more machines, and every machine allows to process more transactions. Don't quote me on the math here, but like very simply said, let's say one instance of OP can process 1,000 transactions per second, let's say 1,000, just don't quote me on these numbers, then adding a second instance would allow you to go from 1,000 to 2,000, right? In Ethereum, it's not the case. In Ethereum, if you spin up a new validator, the network doesn't gain 10 transactions per second more or so, right? Like, it's still the same. This is the unlock here, the mental unlock of rollups and moving our execution off-chain to cloud environments.
Gotcha. Here in the beginning, we were kind of touching on zero gas app chains, and I'm quite curious to kind of understand how that would work under the hood and some of the developments that you guys are working on.
Yeah, so zero gas essentially just means the gas price on your chain is zero by definition. So this means like every user that sends a transaction on your chain does so for zero cost. In reality, you will still, as the app developer, you will still have to pay some cost, some infrastructure cost, like maybe settlement cost on Ethereum, maybe some DA cost on Celestia, right? But these costs will be negligible as compared to what they are today if you want to sponsor all of your applications gas, right? Users definitely don't pay any infrastructure cost, any gas cost anymore. So this is like on like the user experience that you're used to on Netflix, right? Like if you watch a Netflix movie, you don't suddenly get a bill from AWS to pay for some EC2 instance that you used while watching that streaming that movie, right? That would be weird. But that's currently like on Ethereum and elsewhere. It's like, okay, end users actually have to pay these weird infrastructure costs. It's super bad. And this will go away with zero gas rollups, where the costs are so cheap that the app developer, the rollup developer, can very feasibly pay them for all of the users, and it's just like a normal infrastructure bill that you pay to the rollup as a service provider, which includes settlement costs to Ethereum and DA costs to Ethereum or Celestia and so on, right? There's some problems with that because gas is this weird mechanism where you also really have a lot of spam protection. It's like this double-edged sword where once you remove it, you also remove the spam protection. But I think gas is a very bad mechanism for spam protection because it's very misaligned with the developer and with the end user. If you think about it, on very low gas cost blockchains like Solana, you already today have a lot of spam issues. So actually, gas is a spam protection mechanism that gets better the more expensive it gets, but also the worse does gets the UX, right? So it's not a good mechanism, and we need other mechanisms. And traditionally in Web2, I mean, there's a bunch of things websites, web apps, and so on do to limit spam, right? Spam is not an issue in Web3; it's just as much an issue in Web2. And there I'm really bullish on sort of newer identity projects, right? Projects that assign essentially addresses on your rollup some form of, hey, this is like a real person and not a bot, right? Like this is, and how do they do that? Like maybe they prove that your address, like the public key that you use on your address has completed some CAPTCHA or some video ident or KYC or whatnot, right? So actually, I think the era that we are ushering in at Gelato, this era of zero-gas rollups, where we want to be at the forefront because we believe that every rollup at some point should be a zero-gas rollup to be able to provide similar experiences to Web2 and even better. But yeah, that means we need identity projects to succeed, like on-chain identity projects. So, I mean, there's a bunch of them already out there, right? Like there's old ones like Civic and so on. I think they probably have to sort of reinvent themselves a bit, but new ones include Polygon ID. I think they're working on something. That IDOS, Web3 Auth, and so on. All of these guys have announced that they're working on something. So yeah, I'm very bullish on working with these projects actually. And ultimately, I think what will happen is that when you use an application in the future that is a rollup, first of all, you might not even notice anymore that you're using blockchain at all, because you will just be clicking buttons. You'll be signing in. You'll be clicking buttons, right? And you'll be trading, you'll be gambling, whatever it is. And ultimately, blockchains for me are mostly a B2B solution. They rollups, blockchains, zero knowledge, all of these things are B2B solutions. I think we nowadays get often confused about their benefits because we think we all like crypto natives, we all use this stuff. We always think it's for us, but actually it gives developers the opportunity to build a gambling casino, to build a bank or whatever it is, without having to assume so much liability. Like it allows you as a developer to build a secure DeFi protocol without actually custodying all of the user's funds, and you can sleep well at night, at least much better than a banker or Sam Bankman-Fried would, because you know that your servers can't just be hacked and everybody's money is gone, right? So I think this is really the power that blockchain, smart contracts, and so on afford. Is like it allows developers to, it reduces the barrier to entry massively so that developers can build banks without having to invest heavily in security and heavily in, licensing compliance and so on to make sure that they don't accidentally lose their users' funds. Like the blockchain takes care of you for that, right? And zero knowledge takes care of that for you. So yeah, I think if you think this way, then actually users will just click buttons again. Developers will be happy because they were able to have a casino, have a bank, have a trading application, a finance application with a team of 5 people or 10 people without risking or without having so much liability just because of technology. And that's really what we have here. And then you will probably have spam protection mechanisms. Like you will notice suddenly when you use a DeFi application that you have to do a CAPTCHA. Maybe you have to do a live video event or something, right? This is, I think, what will happen this year.
And so with the payments on the back end, is that working through something like a Paymaster? I know you mentioned account abstraction kind of technologies embedded into some of these rollups. Is that effectively what's happening on these rollups? Is like basically, as you said, the debt or the team pays for it through some sort of like Paymaster function, which they like preload up for the entire chain to operate. And they have to like keep a balance of ETH in a certain contract or something?
Yeah, actually, it's exactly that. And I think account abstraction, especially 437, so on, I've always been a bit of a skeptic because I think like 437 itself is implementation-wise is way over-engineered and so on, but still people adopt it, right? And I think account abstraction itself will look a bit different and much simpler on Rollup as a service because just like you say, actually, you don't really need a Paymaster anymore. And nowadays, if you look into the account abstraction implementations out there on Ethereum, Polygon, Arbitrum, and so on, they really have a bunch of complexity and code that's just there to regulate payments and estimation of fees and so on. And actually, all of this is just there because gas is so expensive. So every line of code in account abstraction today and every processing and so on is really there because gas is expensive. Once gas is really cheap, you really don't need a lot of like heavy paymaster logic and protocols on chain anymore, because you can literally the app developer just pays the bills. The app developer just pays the bills to Ethereum and Celestia. That's it, right? Like they're so cheap that it's as easy as, okay, I'm gonna fill up a couple of $100 or so per month on my Ethereum sequencer that posts the settlement state updates, and maybe on my Celestia, whatever, that posts the DDA, or both on the Ethereum, right? And I'm just going to see this balance deplete super slowly, but I'm just going to top it up, and that's paying for all of my users' transactions. So it's like you as the app developer are the paymaster without maybe even really realizing it, and you don't need all of this heavy boilerplate anymore that you have with 437 and so on. At least not for this use case. Like, there's other use cases for 437, like account abstraction, like, I don't know, signing keys, recovery, and like smart contract wallets and so on. There you probably still have a bunch of stuff that's needed, but just for this sort of gasless payment or sponsoring, it's much easier on Rollup as a service.
From some of the naysayers for the modular blockchain thesis, there's been a lot of talk about RAS being a race to the bottom and being fully commoditized. What's your kind of rebuttal to this, or how are you thinking about the landscape of RAS with regards to sustainability for this kind of modular expansion that we're embarking on with this explosion of app chains?
Yeah, I think that people are not giving enough credit, at least at this stage, of how hard it is to actually run these things reliably in production. So technically, you can very easily make the argument for almost anything, especially in infra, that it's going to be commoditized. For me, that just means that there's value there, that there will be enough competition to drive prices down. And this is certainly true, but like, I mean, this is also true in AWS, right? And I wouldn't say AWS has a bad business model. I think they're fine. Don't think they're complaining, right? So this is true elsewhere as well. With RAS specifically, I think that, I mean, especially not in the short term, like because right now it's not yet so easy to just have a very undifferentiated copy-paste RAS service. For example, like with the zero-knowledge rollups, you need a lot of know-how and so on to actually run these things efficiently, because CK proving has a lot of cost. I mean, eventually with time, these things will be easier and the barriers of entries will become lower and so on. But especially in this year, I think like RAS providers, the good ones, have to be very specialized still. The ones that actually have reliable production chains, you know, they will get a lot of brand recognition for it and so on. So I think there's a lot of value still there to actually build this brand and to prove to the market that you're one of the few ones that can actually have super high uptime and so on, and maybe also already lower costs on proving and so on. So yeah, I don't think it will be commoditized immediately. Like, some people already jumped to conclusions. Over some time, it will be commoditized. Prices will come down. I think that's totally fine. We actually want that. Like, we want more app developers to be able to afford this, right? Today, we can only address a certain part of the market, but I actually want to talk to way more app developers that they can then also come online once costs get down. So we are working actively to bring the costs down. And ultimately, like, I think RAS itself will have some premium always, because even though you can outsource a lot of the security to Ethereum and Celestia and so on, which is the point, still as the execution environment, you still have some, like, you still have importance, obviously. So having a brand there that stands for high uptime, reliability, little to no catastrophic failures on any of the rollups, that's just going to be a moat building that brand, right? I mean, I guess there's a reason that there's not too many cloud providers, and there's like a power law here.
Do you envision a world where normal traditional app developers are choosing blockchain-based cloud solutions for their compute over something like AWS? Like, is it possible that it's cheaper for someone to use a RAS solution than a traditional Web2 cloud compute solution?
So I mean, first of all, what's important to notice is that most of these RAS providers today, ourselves included, are deployed on existing cloud environments like AWS and Google Cloud and so on. And most of them are. Like, we also use bare metal here and there to bring costs down. Like, for example, ZK proving nowadays, you probably don't operate in the cloud, because ZK proving today is the machines you need are still like crazy and they just cost you dearly in the cloud. So there you have to go bare metal, but that might also change. Like, you know, ZK proving costs, there's projects working on bringing them down. But yeah, so ultimately, AWS and Google and so on, what differentiates them from a RAS provider is that they own a lot of hardware, they own a lot of data centers and so on, right? I could see a future where, as a RAS provider, we would also own some hardware, like maybe in ZK proving and so on. or similar, but that's still a key differentiator. The reason why you as a Web3 developer and so on, why you would use RAS is first of all because this is highly tailored to your developer experience. You get, like I mentioned, you get all of these nice Web3 integrations that we've already built, like with your blockchain. You get the expertise that we have. It's more than just clicking a button and deploying a chain, right? Like you need a lot of advice, a lot of consulting, hand-holding in that process to make sure that you launch well and that you know, everything goes smooth. I think ultimately Web3 developers and also fintech developers will choose blockchain over what they have in Web2. Like blockchain itself, rollups it's themselves just allow you to build much more powerful global applications. You don't have to worry so much about liability and so on, thanks to the technology, because you know it's you have less attack vectors. You don't have to worry so much about your servers being hacked anymore and so on if you properly prove everything. So first of all, I think as blockchain tech and Web3 tech matures and becomes more mainstream, more and more developers will just choose it over the existing tech stack in Web2. And they will find that the best experiences that they can have as developers will be provided to them by RAS providers like Gelato. Definitely.
Yeah. How are you thinking about some of these non-EVM components adding to Gelato? Like Fluent has like a Wasm VM or a Move VM or a SVM. Are those integrations able to happen? What kind of tooling is required? And then also similarly, like you guys have some interop partners already. What are your thoughts about expanding that as well?
Yeah, so custom VMs, I think personally is one of the things that I'm quite excited about, but a bit more over the medium to longer term. The reason being is that we still don't yet have the luxury problem usually that a given rollup cannot process enough transactions. I think we haven't fully yet tested those limits, especially if you think about nowadays rollups using, cheap DA like Celestia and so on, and now Denkun coming online today. So I think these limits have to be a bit more tested first. Once you reach these limits, or maybe you launch an application, like maybe you are a big gaming studio that is literally bringing millions of users over and you need that scale from day one, then you'd be looking at either the horizontal scale, right? Like this, what I mentioned, like, okay, how can we actually just deploy two or three instances of OP Stack or whatnot and or Arbitrum, Polygon and sort of have them interoperate in the application, or you look at, okay, more like vertical, okay, maybe let's modify the VM, maybe let's use SVM, maybe let's use Monad, right, and have one instance process more. But yeah, this is definitely possible in the rollup construction. You have that opportunity, and we definitely want to offer that as well. We have amazing developers at Gelato, right, so we will definitely tinker with that, I'm pretty sure that maybe come summer this year we will maybe have the first projects out in testing where we already see such modifications to a VM.
And then with regards to the interoperability solutions, like I assume that like once Ag Layer is out from Polygon, all the CDK chains which launch using Gelato will be able to plug right into Ag Layer and kind of et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and this comes back to my point from earlier. Like some people might not realize the power of something like Ag Layer, and Ag Layer from Polygon for me is just like bringing boosting asynchronous communication between rollups by boosting settlement times I think some people might underestimate something like Ag Layer a bit because they think, oh, it's still maybe 30 minutes or so, right? Like no user wants to wait 30 minutes. It's either instant or it's not instant, right? Actually, Ag Layer and ZK Tech, as long as it's not instant, once it becomes instant, and we are a bit, I mean, some ZK fans will tell you, oh, it's coming soon. I have my doubts there, but it might come eventually, right? But yeah, so until ZK is an instant, it's not going to be an end user product, right? But what it is if you talk to liquidity managers, liquidity bridge managers like Hart from Across, for example, right? Whoever else manages liquidity, like I guess Socket nowadays, Stargate, and so on. And these guys have a super hard time building efficient systems on Optimism mainnet, Base mainnet, and so on these optimistic rollups, because they constantly need to rebalance their inventory to always have tokens where users need to have tokens, right? Like if they're basically giving people fast liquidity exits, and for that they need to have liquidity wherever the user wants to go. And the problem is, if they put their balance sheet, if they put their inventory on something like Arbitrum, they cannot get it. They cannot rebalance from there unless they have to wait 7 days, right? For these rollups that use canonical tokens, which is the rollup way to use tokens, the most secure way, right? There's also mint and burn, where you sidestep this problem, but you lose a lot of the benefits of a rollup if you go mint and burn, if you don't go with a canonical asset bridge. So these guys, they will love something like Egglayer from Polygon, because it just brings their rebalancing speed down to 30 minutes from like 7 days. That's, I don't know, like 100x improvement or whatnot, right? And then suddenly they have to deploy way less capital to provide the service, so it's way more capital efficient, and so on, right? I think this is like, people really need to start seeing the B2B aspect of these things. I mean, we always think about ourselves using this on a day-to-day, but really, if you think about, okay, who are the people building solutions on top of this, like across and so on, like these are the guys who are going to benefit immediately from solutions like this. And you as a user won't notice it. You will still use across. You won't use the egg layer. You won't know about ZK. Right. So you will still use across on Bungie. But underneath, across had a way easier time to bring the service to you and way less cost. And again, the barrier to entry has been reduced for developers and for project owners thanks to the technology.
Fantastic. I'm all out of questions. I have had all my questions answered. Rob, how about you?
Yeah, same. I mean, this was a blitz. This was a lot of fun too. If I had one more question, I guess it would be like this, like just to close the loop on this interop conversation. So are you at Gelato going to or planning to integrate those B2C solutions like Across? Or do you stick primarily to the messaging, the general cross-chain messaging providers, and then you let teams like Across and the rest of the services that provide that fast path, you let them kind of like do their own thing, not necessarily integrate into all the chains that Gelato supports?
Yeah, so bridging has definitely proven to be one of the harder nuts to crack, because it has a lot of scalability issues. It's like, you know, you have to be very security minded, because a bridge is how a rollup sort of launches but also dies very quickly, as we've seen in the past with sidechains. So yeah, it's definitely like, I don't think there right now is a one size fits all solution. Recently, I looked at Hyperlane. I think what they're doing is great, because they're really thinking this. They were the first ones to really realize this world of thousands of app chains, and you know, you need sort of, you know, you can self-service and sort of deploy Hyperlane yourself, which I mean, to be honest, just means that you put in some more work, but at least you don't have to wait for teams and ask them to deploy for you, right? Like you just do the work yourself. But you ultimately also with Hyperlane, unless you go for mint and burn, you will, if you want to go the canonical rollup bridge route, which is the most secure way and the best way to leverage all of the benefits of the technology, of the rollup bridge technology, ZK technology, you should definitely use the canonical tokens there. I'm not saying like, I actually think there's so I would segment the user base here. Like there are users, high TVL chains, high security chains, maybe more like DeFi and so on, where you probably should use the canonical assets and the canonical rollup bridge to make the most of the technology. But I'm sure there's a lot of use cases, less TVL, less high value and so on, who are totally fine with having mint and burn, instant bridging, and they just want to have this fast thing and not bear the cost of actually maintaining a liquidity bridge solution. So there you already have the problem. You don't really have a one size fits all. You really have to see what the user needs. And then you have to make a judgment call of, okay, should we go full security or full flexibility here? So I think Hyperlane is on the one end right now pretty cool, where you can sort of have full flexibility. You can obviously combine that as well with a liquidity provider. So also they're quite modular there. And on the other hand, you have something like Across, which is sort of very focused on full security canonical bridge assets. Yeah. So to answer your question, haven't found the perfect solution yet. Working with all of them, definitely working closely with Hart. Like, he's a nice guy recently, like with a team from Hyperlay, Layer Zero, have been working with Connex forever. So we work with all of them. And, you know, don't have a definite answer today what will come out on top on the end. It's definitely interesting to
very
watch this.
Diplomatic. Yeah. Very diplomatic answer here.
Yeah, it's very hard to tell, actually. I mean, actually, I think this is one of the most interesting aspects, like looking back on the year and at the end of 2024, it would be interesting to see like how are these, like what bridges are these rollups using. So far, it looks it's just going to be like a mixed bag of things, which is a bit, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really help with interoperability that much.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Luis, for coming on and being a part of Modular March. I'm very excited to see the future of RAS and of Gelato and kind of embark on this modular expansion. And, you know, I think that we'll see hundreds and hundreds more of app chains this year and more of these protocols on general purpose chains go ahead and move over to the app chain route. So you guys are in a good spot.
Thanks a lot for having me. That was great.
Thanks, Luis.